Hear ye and welcome to the Royal Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Rollison, also known as T-Roll. And tonight, I am joined by my very good friends. First of all, we have Justin Sandoval, a.k.a. Sandy. And of course, we also have Anthony Amato, the legendary Anthony Amato, who we like to call Shimato. Boys, how the heck are y'all doing?
Man, I'm doing good. You know, it was a long week, but I'm glad we're wrapping it up. You know, it's been good winding down the year.
It's almost summertime.
Yep.
Shimato.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, your summer vacation. You're not going to do yourself, are you?
No, I'm just going to sit around the house and
watch plenty of things.
Content. Yeah.
Probably things I've already watched.
Yeah, that's the way you do things. You don't watch new stuff. You just watch the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
It's okay. I don't blame you.
That's me. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one on here.
I feel like Amato's more in the middle between you and me, though, Justin.
You guys wouldn't watch anything new if it wasn't for this podcast.
No, I think Amato would. Shimato would watch more new stuff than me.
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's more in the middle.
Why don't we even have a podcast?
You and I are on.
But it's also like.
Because we're trying
documentaries.
To get rich.
Like documentaries
that's
are.
That's definitely not the answer.
Join our Patreon.
The new stuff that I watch. And it's. Doesn't really bode well for podcast content
podcast
of our style.
On documentaries.
Yeah.
Let's start a documentary podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's
not about the actual like things related to
niche.
It,
no,
but the actual documentaries.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are we here to talk about? X-Men.
Yeah.
X-Men. Quietly. Mm-hmm. Quietly. Like the best show on Disney Plus.
Dude, and they have all of Hulu now.
Nobody's talking about it. I mean,
I don't know. Shogun's on Hulu.
That's true. That's a good point. Shogun, fantastic.
Okay, how about this? Quietly, the best show on Marvel's page on Disney Plus.
There you go. Now we're talking here.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting up there, dude. It's getting up there. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how. We're just going to jump in. It's amazing how... Oh, this is still spoiler-free, though. It's amazing how Marvel shows on Disney Plus, with just a couple exceptions, episodes can be so much longer, be live action, and they're going up against head-to-head against, you know, 32-minute animated X-Men 97 episodes getting just straight bodied.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's one of the great mysteries of life is how comic book entities seem to understand animated stuff way more than they understand live action. And I don't know if it's just because comic book is more closely related to animation.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, it's an extra step to go to live action.
Right.
But there's just something about like DC and Marvel have just done, like their animated work is usually just like on point, almost like 9 times out of 10.
Yep.
Like they're out there like, you know, you could say whatever you want about what Sony is putting out in the
live action.
In the live action pseudo Spider-Verse. But you can't argue with how good Across the Spider-Verse and Into the Spider-Verse are.
Yeah.
You know, like
no,
that
so
kind of
true.
Stuff. They're making that same and they're making it like you side know, by side.
That's right. And I was giving it some thought. I think it just comes down to as a director, like a live action director, you are dependent on other people's ability to act, have certain mannerisms, have certain, you know, eye contact, facial structure, you know, do things with their face, act a certain way. But with animation, you can just have an artist create it to convey exactly what you want.
You're like, no, he looks too stupid. Like, clean that up.
Right.
But truly, legitimately, what I think it is. Live action, there's more money related to it, which means there are more people who don't know what they're talking about with their hands in the pot. I think it's legitimately I think it's legitimately a large part of it is like, I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a lot of money with animated stuff, but I feel like there's like the top producers who are not, you know, really caring about the stuff don't necessarily have their hands as deep in those animated pockets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
I know.
So that's kind of our broad commentary on animation. Why don't we talk specifically about this week's episode of X-Men 97? Was this episode 8 or is it 9?
8.
8.
It was 8. Mm-hmm. I can't count. Every week I ask you guys.
You do.
Basically the same question. This episode was titled Tolerance is Extinction Part 1.
That's right.
Another Part 1. Now, does that mean we're going to have a random episode next week?
No,
I don't know.
No.
So Tolerance is Extinction, part one. And here's your spoiler warning. So you're officially warned. We're going to get into the literal details of this episode starting now. All right. Tolerance doesn't work. Just kidding. there's your podcast.
There you go.
No, but I mean, hey, dude, it makes, I mean, just you know, like, that's kind of a buzzword even in 2024. Mm. And again, this is X-Men 97. So the themes they're hitting on hit both in 97 when this is supposed to take place, but also even in our world today, you know. So it's a big buzzword, but this is, man, Magneto. I mean, we're kind of getting to the end of that. But,
yeah, but say how, far, know, how fast you want to jump there.
Well, just, I mean, he's got a point.
So are you saying that Magneto and Thanos are in the same room agreeing with each other? They're both right?
They'd have an alliance.
Yes. No, no, they wouldn't. Because, I mean, very simply, Thanos doesn't care what side of the line people are on.
That's true. Thanos is random.
Right.
Yes, whereas Magneto is very adamant about what side of the line he's on.
But the majority of people will look at that and both of their stances and be like, you know what, they're kind of right. They're kind of right.
They're similar in the sense that they're both... I think I get what you're saying. Like, as a human, you can be like, oh, they got a point.
Yeah.
They both got a point, even though their points aren't exactly aligned.
Right.
I mean, and I do think one of the biggest things about this is, like, they're making, say, like, Tolerance's extinction, but it's because of the hands that are pulling strings behind that it doesn't work. The whole reason why Tolerance doesn't work is because there is someone pushing buttons on both sides of the line that are pushing them towards war. Is what's happening. That's what's happening. Is like you have Bastion, who is literally pushing the buttons on the human sides, trying to scare them, trying to cause them to be fearful of the mutants. Mm-hmm. And then he is doing things to mutants to make it seem like the humans are pushing closer to war, which, I mean, but, you know, from the overall outside, you could be like, yeah, this was inevitable. Tolerance is extinction, but was it really? It's kind of like the idea. Is it, you know, if Bastion hadn't been there to push the buttons, would have Genosha been able to be, you know, a strong, independent nation that gets along with the rest of the world?
Yeah. And, like, and that goes along with, like, the start of the episode. Like, Cable kind of gives a detailed look at what the future looks like. And because Scott's like, oh, I sent you to a future that's broken. No, it flourished, but at a cost.
Did
you,
dystopian.
Utopia. Did you hear that Bishop and Cable got separated?
That was crazy.
So does that mean baby Nathan just shows up at a different time than Cable? Bishop?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's what they're saying is that he was literally abandoned to the future, which kind of makes like
so makes it even worse.
Which actually makes his like the way that he feels about his parents make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because you would have thought, like, if Bishop had been raising him, he would have probably at least tried to drive home some of the points of, like, hey, you were sent here, but it wasn't because your parents hated you.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't because of it wasn't because of anything like that. It was because they loved you. It was because they knew they were sending you to be hopefully saved.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's obviously cured. He's not dead, obviously. So he's back. But
there's still scars.
That's right. Exactly. Which you see between Scott and his interactions.
Like literal scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, his eye. But like him and Scott were like, they were at each other again.
Yes.
This episode. And Jean's just trying to play that peacemaker. Mm-hmm. But she gets some of the flack because she's not Madeline. And he's just like kind of throwing it back at her. But yeah, Cable, I mean, I really liked seeing that future glimpse that he showed. Where, like, they're all working. All the mutants are the backbone of America, that kind of thing. Or the world.
Yeah. But they do all the work that the people who are naturally born in the United States humans don't want to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Yes. And they do it for almost nothing. Yet they're still considered to not contribute to the society.
Tolerance.
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes.
All right.
But yes. But yeah. Like, and it is like it's hard to look at that world in a way of because you assume that you want that world to be almost dystopian because you want that the idea of mutants being oppressed because they're supposed to be the heroes. You want that to be the negative, you know? You don't want that to be seen as this was somehow a positive good for the rest of the world. And it's hard to, like, you think of generally, like, you think utopian, you're like, oh, this must be good in some way. Like, it's generally perceived as a utopian society is generally considered to be good.
It's like the footage they, well, not footage, but the
flash,
the shots that they show of the future. It's like where everything's peaceful again, except for
mutant life. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the, what do you say? The mutants who survive, they just put to work. Gosh, yes. That's crazy. So it's like, if you just don't show that clip, you're like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But
it's messed up. It really is.
Oh, for sure.
And which,
absolutely.
Which granted, I mean, it starts to add the moral question of, are the needs of the few outweigh the many, like that kind of thing? Like, is that, like, the many have a chance of utopia, right? But there's like a dystopia for the few.
Yes.
Like, but where's that line? Like,
yes.
Then that's the, I mean, trust me. I know it's bad. I know it's wrong, right? But like, you start to ask yourself, like, is it a cost that you're willing to pay? That kind of thing.
Well, man, it's just like, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm not, here's my thing. If I'm a mutant in this world and I'm not on the X-Men.
Yeah. Life sucks.
If I'm not on the X-Men, like, there is a moral compass of just being an X-Man, being on the team, being one of Charles' X-Men.
Yes.
And now that he's back. You know, right? But, like, just being on the team, there's a natural upholding of morality and, like, trying to be neutral and trying to be peacemakers. But if I'm a mutant in this world and I'm not literally in that mansion as an X-Man, it's like, sorry, bro.
Yeah,
I'm with Magneto.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You're trying to take me out?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm taking y'all out.
You're not wrong, man.
And generally how the humans view mutants in general is in those two categories. You're either with the X-Men in that small group, or you are with Magneto, and you have this view of, you know, there is a mutant superiority, which I think you see it play out, and in the scene where, you know, Bastion is talking about humans and losing jobs, you know 10 humans get laid off because there's a mutant who has the strength of 10 men, or where does the taxi driver, you know, where does he fall in when there's a teleporter that can get them, you know, there blink. In a blink. Yes.
So that, I mean, yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, and even even in a mutant world, like we were talking about Genosha, like what would it look like? How would the economy, how would the market work in Genosha? You know, maybe your gifts are teleportation. That's cool. But what if someone else's gifts are like long fingernails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's?
How are you helping out?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's just
pulling your weight.
It's just kind of a nuanced, convoluted kind of thing. Yeah. But I guess I'm just getting to more of the, man, especially like if you're a mutant who has like been holding out, like I'm trying not to be a rioter. I'm trying not to be a protester. I'm trying not to.
I just want to be normal, like that type of person.
And then you see the attack on Genosha, literally a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now it's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And the point I'm making is, how can anyone in this world fault a mutant for feeling that way?
And when you say you're done, you mean like that as like a
I'm done with peace.
As like a call to action. Is that what you're talking about? So you're talking about like 9/11 is what you're talking about. Like when that happened, so many people joined the military, armed forces,
enlisted. Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about.
They were pushed over the edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. It's like,
I mean that's the intensity. That's where they're at.
I think so.
Yeah.
And like you just like you don't. Again. You know, we take it back to Thanos, but, you know, Magneto might have more of a point. or it creates a conversation. But
it does, absolutely.
Man, again, but just to this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next scene we see is we got Rogue and Nightcrawler. Like, Rogue's passed out on this little hospital bed.
Yeah, so
from
like,
the last fight. With the
Super Sentinel.
Whatever.
What do we call him? Trask Prime?
There you go.
That's not what we called him, but that does sound cool.
That does sound really cool, actually. Let's go with that. So yeah, so she's knocked out, and then Kurt is there, just taking care of her.
Yeah.
And he has a nice little dialogue there about just his past and family and blood, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
man. Yes. That was like honestly one of my favorite parts of the
episode. His lines are like, they're poignant and they're well spoken, mm-hmm.
And they come from a German accent.
Yes. And they're very allegorical, and they're like very like they're just like they're very well done. And he does a great job of showing like, you know, how just because your blood doesn't mean your, you know, family.
Gives me vibes of the German doctor in Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Stanley Tucci's character.
Yes.
Yes.
But like, and everything he says is like what the ideal statement.
Yes.
Should be. Like, not just for mutants, but for mankind, like in general.
Yes.
Like, it's a tolerance at its core, right?
Yes.
Like.
Right.
But yeah, that whole scene, man. Yeah. Oh, so good, man.
Yes.
I'm trying to think with immediately after that scene. I believe it's Hank in the basement, right? Isn't it?
Well, or it's multiple scenes are happening.
Yeah, there's a few.
Hank's happening,
mm-hmm.
talking to the news reporter.
Yeah, his news reporter friend.
Tilby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Bastion with all the screens around him.
Bastion with all the screens.
Which we do get some sick cameos.
So really, there's cameos all over this episode.
Is sprinkled. Yes.
So why don't we talk about the villain cameos first.
Yes. So we get Dr. Doom first, which is the first...
Mm. Just a casual Doom.
Yeah. The first post, like, MCU era Dr. Doom.
Yes.
That's not in...
Don't we earlier in the episode also get a Kamatage reference?
Well, okay. You stole my thunder. I said villains.
He did say villains, and you went ahead and jumped there.
But
then we get also Baron Zemo.
Zemo.
Yes.
Yeah, animated, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Those are really the main two... Everyone else's shadowy figures.
So Kamatage, what's funny is, so I think it's when, is it when was Cable explaining something? I think
Cable was,
yeah,
it was on that.
Yeah, because they're talking about him time traveling.
Yes.
And it's almost like no matter what he does, they're talking essentially about what I would argue is a nexus point.
Yes.
Like events that have to happen no matter what.
Yes.
I think that's what Cable's realizing, like, no matter how hard I try, it won't work.
I think it was Beast that brought up the mystics refer to it as, and he mentioned it like a time point or something like that.
But here's what's so cool. I don't know if this was just a cool little line. Mm-hmm. So he mentions Kamatage, but the first thing, the line goes like, I'm not going to get it word for word, but the first thing Hank says is, he says, strange.
Yes.
And
yes.
then literally like, yes. which is like, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
But then he talks about Kamatage and the mystics at Kamatage talk about, you know, he didn't say Nexus Point, but things that have to happen.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was so funny how it's like a play on word. Like,
it's so good.
So
they knew what they were doing.
Yes,
they knew exactly what they were doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's so many references there. And just that block of time right there.
Other cameos.
Throughout the episode, we're just going to jump around.
Well, let's just hit all the cameos then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man is the largest one at the end.
Yeah. So because of Magneto going to, what was the North Pole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And going, you know,
basically human
berserk.
EMP or mutant EMP. Or Spider-Man. They show a scene in New York where Spider-Man.
So we see Spider-Man.
Then we go flying all over to Japan where you see the Silver Samurai.
Yes.
Which, sick. And then they do the tank that they have been showing where they're creating, like, people/mutants, and we see Omega Red in the tank, which is that'll be an interesting storyline to see if he actually emerges here in the next. He's the one with the whips that coming out of his arms. So, am I missing one?
Talking about Whiplash. I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Was there one?
gosh, there's so many.
I don't think there was another one after that. I think that was it. Yeah.
I feel like there was something else, but I could be wrong. So maybe
we'll get to it if it has inspired us.
We'll just keep going. Okay, so it turns out, Cable,
Cyclops,
and Jean,
mm-hmm.
Scott and Jean. So one nitpicky thing.
Here we go. I love it.
The cheesy little "you don't mess with the Summers." I feel like I was watching like Mitchell's vs. Machines.
Yes.
Just like the
fantastic
family thing.
Yeah.
Really cheesy. It worked out, but really cheesy. They go to go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say they start off in the Blackbird.
Yeah,
and then they end up in a Porsche.
Yes,
he's like, "You have a Porsche?"
Oh, and the look that Scott gives afterwards is like the kind of like, I'm cool to my son. That kind of yeah. Like, yeah. I love that, dude.
Yes.
Yeah. As a dad, I can relate. Like when yeah. your kid thinks you're like the coolest thing ever, yes. like yes. that's the smile you give right there, which is yep. fantastic.
And I did like the whole moment where she like seatbelt. Like,
yes, that was so good.
That was a nice little mom moment.
And like even the way they had Cable kind of look down, like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was so good.
And
so,
like in the way that she reacts, like she's like, Hank's gonna kill you. Is the third Blackbird in his Mini Muds, just like
yes. So they show up at sorry, I didn't time that yawn up well enough. They show up at Bastion's childhood home.
Ooh, yes.
And yeah. you could, like, dude, right away I'm like, y'all better just, like, kill his mom. Like, I know they're not going to do it because they're the
sitting
X-Men.
There in this, like, decrepit
it's
house.
It's clearly a yeah. trap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or at the very least, like, understood that this was, like, maybe not kill her because, like, that wouldn't have been, like, the X-Men way. But,
right.
like,
Scott's at that point.
Or let's just, like,
Cable would have done it. Like, he's just been, like, pop.
Or let's just
been
be like,
with it.
Nah, this dude's
like, known that there was something wrong here.
I'm not helping her up.
Like yeah. I'm not helping her.
She can get her help herself.
Yeah. Well, and also like the fact that like she literally says, "Your son said you would be coming for me tomorrow." Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you be like?
Well, it was probably like a senile thing. Like, oh, she's crazy. Maybe she thinks we're somebody else.
I didn't take it that way.
No.
No. I didn't
really?
Take it that way.
Yeah. I figured that way.
Because you hate old people.
I do. I can't stand old people.
I 100%. That's pot certified. I took that as like he was like, "Hey, some people are going to come see you this day, and they just happen to be a day earlier than they were supposed to be." Mm. I legitimately just like he just. That was him playing his hand. He was literally just like, "Here you go."
Yeah,
but it's at their house or at
his
house
room.
In his room, artwork. Where throughout the whole episode, everywhere, mm-hmm. whether they're at the mansion or here or at the shopping mall with Roberto and Jubilee. Mm-hmm. All these Super Sentinels are getting activated.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Actually, these apparently.
Which last week he speculated was it like upon death. Because that's what happened with Trav.
Correct, yeah.
Or was it like an activation? And clearly...
Activation.
It's an activation.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
That, ironically enough, Hank did.
Did
that's the way I see it, is Hank...
Activated him?
By running that program.
No, I don't think... I didn't see that. I don't think... I think he... Bastion did that right after that, right? He was the one that... He is the one who did
so
that.
So you're just saying it was a convenient for story
yes,
that it has with
Hank. Yeah.
I mean, I could see it.
I think we watched that scene again. Like, it's Hank is just looking for them.
He's using Cerebro.
He's looking for them currently, and then Bastion is activating them, and then they start appearing
I mean,
onto
I
the
thing.
I
could see it either way, though, because you could argue that using Cerebro almost, like, it puts something out. Into
like, I see that as, like, it was a moment of, like, doing exactly what Cerebro does is it amplifies that. That's ability. So the way I see it is him putting in a Cerebro was him like essentially sending out a signal to awaken all Super Sentinels in the world.
Yeah, but Bastion, I forget what he says, but I feel like Bastion, whatever he does and says, Sinister is right there and like they activate him. Like I'm telling you, I remember seeing him at the panels.
Yeah.
But anyway, they all activate everywhere and there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
And, we see the Jubilee and Roberto in the mall, and they're activating after they're trying on clothes. You see the entire neighborhood that the Summers are in.
Yeah.
And then the mansion, the protesters outside, which led to an epic...
Half of them turn into...
Epic fight between Wolverine, Morph, and Nightcrawler.
Well, we get like one... Again, we get like so little Morph.
We do.
He's Juggernaut, and that's essentially it.
That's it.
But... This episode, Nightcrawler and Wolverine,
that was a pretty awesome team up.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And just like the juxtaposition of the way they fight, it was just like, they just fight so differently. Yeah. Like, you know, Wolverine's so like, I'm just barreling straight through. And like, everything about Nightcrawler was about like elegance and like.
Finesse.
Yes. And a bit of a finesse.
And I mean, I'm going to say it. I love the scene where Wolverine just comes in, charred, like no uniform anymore. And then he's like, I got six reasons for you. And then Nightcrawler appears, just make that nine.
Yes.
That's so good, man.
Yeah. And they're protecting
Rogue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the Summers are together, and they're having a tough time.
Yeah. Oh my God. They're swarmed. They're outnumbered.
It's like birds hitting your, on their
windshield.
Yeah.
Which is where they ditch the bird and they land it in the Porsche, and then they rip the roof off. And how cool is it that Jean is not only deflecting with her mind, but she's steering the car now. while Scott paves away through a mountain with his laser beam,
which just like
and Cable is holding off the people coming towards him.
Like, that was so cool, like
incredible.
Once again, like something that X-Men do way better than teamwork. Just about teamwork is something that they do way better than just every other. You know, superhero franchise, it seems. You know, you know, it's just it's crazy that they're able to do that.
And they didn't have to even say or coordinate it. They just knew. Like, he looked over at Eugene, and then that was it. He let go of the wheel. That was all he did. And it was incredible.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
So good. Okay.
And there were just so many good, like, in the entire, everything, there were a lot of moments that were, like, based around the idea of family.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, okay, so, like, you know, you had the Summers. With everything that they had to do with family. You know, you had
Kurt and Rogue,
You had Kurt and Rogue, everything they had to do with family. You had everything to do with Roberto and his family. Mm-hmm. And, like, and it's all about choice. Like, you're seeing these choices. You're seeing, you know, where, you know, Rogue and Nightcrawler choose each other as family, even though they're technically, like, siblings, but, like, they were never like growing up together type of siblings. Like they were kind of like found each other, became siblings, even though they were truly siblings.
Yeah.
And then you have, of course, Roberto kind of like falling in the other direction, like falling out of his family.
Right.
You know,
his family doesn't choose him.
Yes. Essentially. Yeah. And then of course you have the Summers finally, like for a moment feeling like they're a family once again, because they had so many moments of like, you know, discourse and argument, like, you know, you're not my real dad type of, or you were never there. You're not my real mom type of situations, you know, all those things. And they finally like are able to come together in this moment of stress.
Yeah. And even Charles Xavier showing up.
Calling
his X-Men, which is his family.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we get towards the final scene here, and it's Magneto's let out, which we've seen him throughout the whole episode being confined, and they have the inhibitor collar on him, and then I guess the UN Dr. Cooper, she lets him go, and Magneto, Bastion makes it a point to, oh no, Sinister, was it Mr. Sinister? Somebody says Magneto's free. The letter for Magneto free.
Sinister says.
Sinister
Sebastian, right?
Almost, to him. Almost like he like FaceTimed him.
Yeah.
In like 1997, and it's like that stupid woman.
Yes,
let him out.
And he realizes how big of a deal that is. Like you can hear.
Sinister does.
Yeah, Sinister does.
Bastion's like, it doesn't matter.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. Sinister's like, no,
this is a big deal. This is the reason why we went for him first. Like this is like
this is why he had a collar on his neck.
Yes.
Yeah, so that you can hear. In Sinister's voice, how important this is.
Yeah.
And you see Magneto in his nice little, like, tidy black underwear.
Yeah.
Flying through. He breaks the atmosphere, goes to the North Pole, and he uses the magnetic fields of the North Pole to amplify his powers.
Yep.
And just completely sets off an EMP and destroys, like, all technology.
Signals.
Yeah.
Oh, you think all technology?
I think so, yeah.
I think it knocks out like a significant amount of technology because remember, it took out that nuclear power plant at the very least. And I think that's why, I think it's part of the reason why Wolverine says that it wasn't just.
It was declaring war.
War because he wasn't just knocking out the Super Sentinels. If it was just that. That would have been seen as an act of self-offense.
Yeah.
I think essentially, like these were coming to get us. You know, we were doing, even though these were, you know, humans at some point, but these were obviously no longer humans. But knocking out all that kind of stuff is a very, like, you know,
taking away people's toys. Take away people's toys, you're going to cause them problems.
I mean, you just think about a government. Like you're like, okay, so our entire Defense Department is now shut down.
Yeah,
like that is a. Like, it is an extremely volatile moment, and the UN isn't going to look on that well. Like, militaries aren't going to look on that well.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that is why the one word Magneto says in this whole episode was so awesome and powerful.
Mm.
And it's like a close-up of, like, half his face. You just see, like, half of his mouth, I think.
Yeah.
And he just says, enough.
Mm.
It's just like... I'm over it.
Moments after Dr. Hooper says Magneto is right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Like it's literally the next thing.
Okay. So here's my thing. Okay. Critique not of the show but of Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you, why would you not? What's the purpose of keeping Magneto
alive?
Alive.
Yeah.
seriously, work this out.
There is no reason.
If he is your one threat, and you can literally kill him right now,
yeah,
and you've already been so just merciless everywhere.
Why not, right?
Why not?
Good point.
Curious. Yeah. What do you think, Kamado?
I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know if he had to, if he had him as some part of his bigger plan that he was going to be a part of. Like, maybe he had some idea of using him for something, you know. I'm not 100% sure what his exact plan is or his idea for that is.
Technically, the future that Cable showed the team, the cities looked incredible. Maybe Magneto's powers were used to develop a better, a brighter future.
Or maybe he could think, maybe he was like, maybe I can, you know, adjust his mind. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he needed, maybe the reason why Bastion wasn't so worried about it was because he knew that this was a moment that was needed for the future.
Okay.
Like, I could see that
because
being
he didn't seem worried, but Bastion, for what we could
at
tell.
At first, he didn't seem worried, but then he had a face of like, oh.
Well, yeah, when, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think Bastion has anything to do with, like, he's created from the future, but I don't know if necessarily he has future thoughts or memories
You know, I was just thinking, I'm getting like some, and it's funny, we get Zemo of all people in this episode.
Yeah.
But I'm getting some like Civil War Zemo vibes from Bastion. Like, maybe he's playing chess. There you go.
Yay.
With Charles and,
and Magneto.
And Magneto, where he's like, I need to get them to fight. Or the only other thing I think of is, remember when Sinister says, I'm using Bastion?
Yeah.
Maybe Sinister's like, part of the deal was we keep Magneto alive because he needs his, like,
DNA.
DNA.
That maybe.
Only, that's yeah. probably the only
that would probably be the
explanation
more, yeah.
that I'm willing to
but
accept.
But if I'm thinking, like, you know, there's only, like, a few kind of, like, what do they call them? Like, Category 5 mutants or level 5 mutants
Omega
or whatever.
Omega threats,
yes.
There's only a few of them, right? It's, like, Magneto, Charles, Jean,
Charles
Storm. Charles isn't even one. Mm-mm. Yeah, so it's, like, three.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's, I know Jean is. I know Storm is. Magneto is.
That might be it.
There might be more than that, but I know there are at least those three.
Right. So you got one with a collar on his neck, can't do nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, you're an evil villain. Like, what?
Right.
Why not?
Why just not get rid of him?
Why is he on a cross?
Yeah.
Why is he on an X?
Yes. Sacrifice.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a bigger problem. Anyways. So he amplifies his powers at the North Pole.
Takes out everything.
Takes out everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep.
So what's next?
Yeah, I mean, this is a three-part series. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the final confrontation or conflict is going to be between Charles and Magneto. But I do think this next episode is going to be something that brings them together.
He's got to get his helmet back.
They got it. Well, now, yeah, I guess you're right now that Charles is back.
Yeah.
What I think this next episode is them teaming up to get rid of Bastion and Sinister, only to lead up to a third part that is the final conclusion for Charles and Magneto's rivalry. That's what I think it is. I mean, I think that's the only thing I feel like would
the
make
last
sense.
Last dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking forward to this, man. This is like, okay, out of all 8 of these episodes, one was a dud. One or half of an episode was a dud.
And you kind of liked it.
Yeah. And so this series is hitting on all cylinders right now.
I mean, I can watch again. And you know what I think about this series? Here you go. You ready?
I'm ready.
T-Roll found, once again, something that seems to be rewatchable.
Hey.
And also, it doesn't hurt that the episodes are short. Just have it on in the background. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
So, yeah. I'm really excited about it. Shimano, any other thoughts?
I mean, I feel like they did a really good job of giving you, like, sort of horror elements in it. So I did like how it would play some of those moments in it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. I mean, old people, right?
What?
Horror elements.
Yes.
how scary old people can be, right?
I mean,
yes.
Old age in general, it's coming for us all.
It's already here for this podcast. Anyway.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
To add one more family, just like whole Bastion situation, sure. Like dealing with family and stuff.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was weird. Like watching the alien come down and go inside the dad and then the baby.
Yeah.
Baby
yeah. And again, like you don't get a ton of like here's why you should understand Bastion, but you get a little bit.
You get enough to where
you get more than you get in a lot of Marvel
it's sound
MCU like, shows. Yeah. You get more than you got with the Flag Smashers or the or the what are the clandestines?
Oh, yes. No.
Or whatever they're called. Like, you get so much more with Bastion in like 4 minutes than about 85% or if not more of the villains from the quote unquote villains from this, you know, series on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Dang, dude.
Yeah, I just
you just like that's a roast.
Yeah, right? Trevor would like that, wouldn't he?
He would.
Yeah,
he'd be proud of you. Yeah.
Dang it. All right. All right. Well, if I'm agreeing with Trevor on something, it's time to cut this off. We will be back next week. So if you're still listening, thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. And we have really enjoyed this series. We need to try to maybe like watch the next two or maybe the last one together.
I think that'd be cool. Possible.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll talk about that off the pod. But yeah, big shout out to everybody who has stuck around. You know, these episodes are short and our podcasts are, you know, pretty manageable. So hopefully you're still here. Please. Just a reminder to share this podcast with your friends. Seriously, if you have any Marvel friends, if you got any friends who enjoy X-Men in particular, please share this podcast with them. Helps us out tremendously. And also, subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen and leaving us a review would really, really help us out. So
I do got a plug real quick.
Ooh, we got a plug.
Plug real quick. Okay, so if you guys are listening to this right now, we just plugged our socials on Instagram, at Royal Geek Pod. In a couple weeks, we got our anniversary episode coming up. And so if you guys want to participate, go ahead and DM the podcast and answer these questions. I'm going to list them out real quick.
Oh, sure. Okay.
All right. Send us a DM of what your favorite podcast moment was, your favorite TV series that we covered was, the favorite movie that we covered was, and then one question that needs answering, and I'm referring to anything in the nerd world, geek world, or anything with the podcast specifically. And then the final question is, what should we retro review? So go ahead and answer those questions. DM us on at Royal Geek Pod on Instagram, and we would love to give you guys a shout out.
Email, too. Yeah. You could do email.
You can do email, yeah, royalgeekpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
We would love to have you guys participate, and we will shout you out on our anniversary episode in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
so,
I love it.
We appreciate you and love you guys.
That's great. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was too tired to remember all that, but that's a good shout.
Okay. Well, please come back next week for a review of the next episode of X-Men 97. And I think that's it. So with all that in mind, for my good friends Sandy and Shimado, this is T-Roll saying thank you so much for listening to the Royal Geek Podcast. We will see you next time, you mutants.